The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
My livelihood is making sure everybody in that room has a great time, because I really do care. So I want to satiate the left, I want to satiate the right, and give enough red meat. But at the end of the day, I do feel like a kid watching mommy and daddy fight every day. Yeah. It's just like, where do I belong? I just sit in the corner and cry. And by the way, it's so good to be on the Business of Comedy podcast with you guys. I mean, I'm so sorry I've taken it down this road.
We love it.
Antonio, I travel the country. There isn't another club like it. I've never seen anything like it. There's nothing in New York like it. Nothing in Chicago like it. Nothing in LA like it. But I'm telling you, what you have in Atlanta is very special.
Little jarring. Speaking of jarring, we have a guest this week, and his name is Steve Byrne. He's an actor, he's a comedian, and he's coming to the Punchline. So you'll be able to go see him tonight. If you're watching this in the morning and there are seats available, you'll be able to go. Does he do a show on Sunday, Jeff?
No Sunday show.
So, but you could always watch one of his specials. I watched half of his most recent special that's on YouTube this week. I also watched the episode of Kill Tony from last week. I haven't watched that show in a while, but that was a pretty funny episode.
Yeah, I like that Tony Scar guy.
Steve Byrne is a stand-up comedian, actor, writer, and director, best known for his sharp observational comedy and energetic stage presence. He starred in and co-created the TBS sitcom Sullivan and Son, which was good, appeared in films including The Opening Act, and has released multiple stand-up specials, including The Byrne Identity and Tell the Damn Joke. A longtime favorite on the comedy circuit, Byrne continues to tour nationally while appearing on major podcasts and comedy showcases, including the aforementioned Kill Tony. So stick around, because up next, it's comedian, actor Steve Byrne. There he is.
Hi.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Steve. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You have a cool room, the setup. For people who are listening on Spotify or whatever, you should check out the YouTube, because you got these comic books back there.
Yeah, I got a comic book rack, the old
and
school.
And that's awesome.
Kind of 60s, 70s comic book rack. I didn't realize how kind of antiquated these are, but they're worth a pretty penny. And there's a comic book store that was going out of business, and I just bought it for a few hundred. They're worth a few thousand, actually. So it's pretty cool.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So when everything burns in the house, that's the one thing I'm grabbing. Awesome. Sorry, kids. I can't make it upstairs. But
don't forget those framed TV guides. Those are important, too.
Yeah. Carson, Jack Benny, Dean Martin, Bob Hope.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you for talking about your
thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Good night.
You are at the Punchline. And we love the Punchline.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since you've been on our show. I think the last time you were on to talk about a couple of movies, one of them being the Amazing Jonathan documentary that we loved.
Yeah. That was a total blast getting to do that. And Jonathan was just a iconic Vegas legend. And the doc was great because it was a testament and kind of an appreciation to his legacy of how just creative he was, just a rock star magician where all the tricks fail, but yeah, then they end up being great at the same time. And he was one of the few that wasn't kind of douchey. He was cool. He was very funny. He was very vitriolic and very assertive, which was part of what made him great. But the doc was about him and everything he was dealing with health wise, but the fact that it came full circle because this kid that he took under his wing at 12, Joel Osborne, ended up becoming his road manager and ended up, you know, at the end of the film opening for him because he always wanted to be a comic and he idolized Jonathan. So we're actually we developed a feature film that will come after this next one I'm about to do. And that one's told from Joel's perspective, being an 18-year-old kid leaving Australia and then moving to Vegas and being in charge of a, you know, a 30-something Las Vegas drug snorting headliner. So it's pretty wild. And all the stories in it are totally true. And that's why this script has been like it's gotten so much attention from people. So I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It looks like you had a voice doing some voice work in Clone Cop.
So Clone Cops, it was an independent film that they filmed here in Nashville. And I just, you know, they asked me to do it. I said, of course. And yeah, I was part of like this video testimonial guy. Like when you watch Lost, they discover those old VHS tapes. And there was the Asian guy that kind of walked you through. So I was just somebody that was kind of giving exposition in a fun way through 80s VHS kind of tapes, whatever. But yeah, those guys were very creative and it was a fun project to be a part of. But yeah, I mean, you just never know where you're going to end up with this job. I mean, you do that 1 month and then I'm hosting Miss Universe in Bangkok the next month and then, you know, get ready to come to the punchline. This is like one of the last road gigs I'm doing. I think three more and then I kind of move off and I'm either going to New Mexico or Kentucky to film this next film.
Wow.
Yeah, can you tell us anything about the next one?
Yeah, the next one is it's about Caltech's basketball team. They essentially... They possess the record for the longest losing streak in college basketball history. So we haven't really announced it, but, you know, I'll just say it. It's a new coach comes in. It's his first head coaching job and he gets there and it's a bunch of nerds. And he realizes they're so bad that we're not going to the playoffs. We're not going to the championship. His whole goal is to just get a bunch of Asians and Indian nerds to just win one game. So yeah. It's like the opposite of every other thing you see where they're going for the championship. This is just win one. And all the lessons that come with that comedically. And obviously there's a ton of heart and it's based on a true story. So it's going to be very, you know, we're paying homage to something that's one of those crazy kind of like records that exist in the sports world.
When you make a movie, how much time do you take off from doing stand up and do you get the itch to go do it and try to find places where you can just go do, I don't know, something to get it out of your system?
I think after, you know, I've been doing this for 27 years, stand up. So any excuse to step away is welcome because it's so like, you're just always by yourself. So like to get to be a part of a film where you're with a bunch of other people and a bunch of creatives, you know, it's a total blast. So I really enjoy it. Like even during COVID, when COVID hit, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get, I'm like, fuck that. I love every second. I mean, if this just went on for a year or two, I'd be completely happy with it. I loved every second of just being home. And I mean, I just love Toronto and trying to get home was a nightmare. So you take that and multiply that times once a month. It's brutal. I mean, I love stand up. I love doing it. It's everything else that sucks with going along with stand-up. The travel wears on you. The hotels wear on you. The transportation wears on you, just in general. It's so funny. I think this is one of my favorite jokes in stand-up, but there's a guy named Matt Fultron. Great comic, opens for Segura all the time. And anytime you're doing a bunch of shows, you're all in the green room hanging out together. And one by one, we're waiting for our name to be announced, so we go up and do our time. And anytime Fultron's with a bunch of other comedians, we'll all just be goofing. And then they'll be ready to announce his name. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to love this next comedian. And he'll time it out perfectly. And he just looks at us all and he goes, well, guys, this is the part of the job I fucking hate. Matt Fultron, and he walks on stage. And it's like one of the best lines in comedy.
You're in Nashville. That's where you live?
Live in Nashville, yeah. Yeah, I've been here for 5 years. Moved here at peak COVID. So, I just, you know, now knowing everything that kind of unpacked, but living in California where it's like, especially Los Angeles, where it's like full tilt COVID. Mm-hmm. And then like, I remember coming to Nashville and like looking at real estate property and then like Kid Rock's you know, honky tonk. I was like, that's got to be ground zero for COVID outbreak. And then you just realize everything that came along with it. But just the holier than thou mentality that California had when it all broke out. I was just like, I don't know. Florida seems open. It seems okay. And I started doing gigs and you're just getting, you know, dumped on by other comics. I was like, it was just that whole attitude. I was like, I want to get away from this. I just don't want to be a part of that. I'm all for anybody. I mean, my act is very, I love to dump on the left. I love to dump on the right. I try to be very balanced with it. But boy, the left gives you plenty of real estate and daylight to just come in and just say, there's so much hypocrisy. There's always hypocrisy on both sides. But that experience being in California at the time, especially, was kind of pretty eye opening.
There were some circles in Atlanta comedy that were like that, too. It's like, okay, mask is optional, right?
Right.
But if you didn't wear one, you feel like you were getting whipped. Do you know what I mean?
When things have permeated society to the point that, like, everything's politicized, like, you know, you're watching a football game and in the end zone it's end racism, or, you know, you're talking about the weather, or it's a scorcher today. It's like climate change. It's like, Jesus, you can't get away from it. Everything's an opportunity to blame the other side, essentially. And you're seeing it now with everything with ICE. It's just like the minute something happens and transpires, you know, you have people that have, you know, podium status that are going to look to blame or vilify the other instead of all of us just kind of waiting for the facts to come in. And that's kind of the bummer. I think we're all caught in the middle. And unfortunately, with social media, it just amplifies what side you're on. And I just tour the country so much. Like, my livelihood is making sure everybody in that room has a great time, because I really do care. So I want to satiate the left. I want to satiate the right and give enough red meat. But at the end of the day, I do feel like a kid watching mommy and daddy fight every day. Yeah. It's just like, where do I belong? I just sit in the corner and cry.
Yeah.
Well, you do a good job of, I don't like using going after, you do a good job of satirizing the extremes of the political spectrum on Violent Moderate, which is a comedy special I watched earlier this week. On Monday.
You were the one.
Yeah. Now, is it on YouTube? YouTube suppresses things, but it's on YouTube where you can watch it, and I'm sure it's other places. But it's very funny. And if you're not one of those people that's just melded into an ideology, and it doesn't matter which one it is or whatever, but I'm saying that if you just want to laugh and have a good time laughing at society, I want everybody to check that out. It's a good special.
No, thank you. But again, to your point, it's on YouTube, because none of the streamers would touch it, because there are things that that a comic like me would like to talk about, but Netflix wouldn't be the platform for me to do that, because they obviously have shown their colors and they're very left leaning. So when BLM happens and it's we got to march to prevent hate in the black community. But then Asian hate happens and it's in the news for like 2 weeks, and then boom, it disappears. And it's like, you do the math. It's like, wait, why did that disappear? What did we solve Asian hate? It's like, no, it still happened. But like 80% of Asian hate is, you know, reported to be happening from blacks beating like the shit out of Asians and all these Korean delis and everything. So, you know, you shine a spotlight on that. And it's like, again, there's just enough hypocrisy to go around for everybody. It's like, but this story doesn't exist anymore because it didn't fit the narrative. But it's still just as important. If you believe in that, why don't you believe in this? You're seeing with Iran, you're seeing with all these other things. So,
hate
and cherry pick reality.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everybody is these days. And it is interesting, because I was just in Minnesota 2 weeks ago, like peak ICE riots, you know, when the first shooting went down with the young lady. And, you know, I love to just read the headlines, just draft a few jokes and see what works. And there were people that had literally just come from ICE riots, anti-ICE riots. And, you know, I always do crowd work up top, and I'm talking to these guys and I'm just like, wow, this is going to be a test. I mean, they're ardently left there. It's freezing out and they're still protesting. Like, if I can crack them and make sure they have a great time, then this is a good litmus test. So, you know, I do love the challenge of that.
And how did it go?
It went great. Yeah. I mean, right. I think there's, you know, you have to do it with the charm. The key, like, these days for comic is, people that are coming into a comedy show, people are coming into a comedy environment, right? The reason there's so much outrage from the left and the right on social media is because the minute somebody reads even the headline or the way the narrative is described in the headline, right, you can read the tea leaves pretty quickly. We're all pretty educated now. And your emotions will get the best of you, right?
Yes.
The key is, like, when you're a comic, my emotions are really, really suppressed when it comes to maintaining the room, because my job is to never let my emotions get the best of me, no matter what you say to me, left or right. So I've got to be even keeled, because the minute I get emotional, I lose the room. The minute I lose the room, the show's over. So I can't do that, right? That's the difference between me and the other 300 people that are in the room. Is just understanding that barometer. I just dealt with it in Toronto literally last weekend, where a woman was just not having it from the jump. Within 3 or 4 minutes of the crowd work, she just made herself very vocal, and she came after me. And I always look at that as a challenge. Can I quell her? Can I let her know you're going to get your fill? Just relax. It wasn't working. Could I get you a drink? That's not working. All the greatest hits, right? You have an arsenal of knives. Nothing's working. And eventually she got very lippy, and I dropped the C-bomb on her. And she said, did you just really call me that? I'm like, yeah, because you're acting like it. And then this, it was great because it was a white woman, very chatty. And then this black woman stood up and goes, you've been talking the whole damn show. You've been ruining the show for this whole side of the room. You need to shut the fuck up. So she shut down. And I was like, I'll tell you, nothing will shut a white woman down quicker than a black woman. Because they can't take it back.
Right.
It's just one of those things. And it galvanizes the room. And then all of a sudden, as a comic, you have a gift. It's like the room is so bonded, you have an opportunity to make this the best night ever, not only for yourself, but for them. And it was one of those shows just off the charts. It was great from there on out.
That's great. That's great. There's a comedian from up there that I discovered on social media named Ben Bankus. Are you familiar with him?
No.
He is, I would say that he tends to be extreme, not extreme. He tends to be right. And he's from Canada, and he's constantly making fun of their immigration policies. But the one thing he does is these little videos where he overdubs himself over the mayor of Toronto, who's Chinese. She's a China. I don't think she was. She might have been from China. I don't know. But he does, you know, the old offensive Asian accent and
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
And he can be quite. Like, he rips into people. I mean, that's got to take balls, I think.
Well, it sounds like my cup of tea. I think anytime you cross the line, the thing is, like, it's just not my nature, right? If you're in your nature, then you're being genuine yourself. I mean, that's what every comic wants. Dave Chappelle has made a living being honest, right? And Dave Chappelle talks about ideas. That's what makes him special. Chris Rock talks about ideas. People pay to listen to Chris Rock. People pay to listen to Dave Chappelle. People pay to see Bert Kreischer, right? And he's a spectacle. And I think there's a big difference. But I think, again, anytime you're being genuine, that's what people gravitate towards. And it sounds like Ben Bankus is very, very, especially these days. I mean, when you're all in on the right, especially, and you know the purse strings are being pulled on the left predominantly in the world of entertainment, you're really all in. You know, when the Oscars, when the Emmys, when the Tonys, when De Niro gets up and says, you know, fuck Donald Trump. It's like, well, yeah, that's easy to do. You're a Yankee in Yankee Stadium. When you're a Red Sox in Yankee Stadium, that's hard because now you got something to lose. So I always respect anybody like a Ben Bankus or a multitude of other comics that come out. They have everything to lose. A lot of them have. A lot of them have lost everything. So it's up to them to kind of build it up on their own.
And I know I'm dominating and I'll shut up after this, but I bring up Nashville again because there's a very definite comedy scene in Nashville. You know, Nate, and you got Dusty Slay, who's another guy I think moved to Nashville during the pandemic to get Lant. He always ends everything with T's.
Yeah.
But they have their podcast thing. So, you know, there's what I think what happened. This is just my guess, but after the pandemic, you know, during it, people kind of went into their silos.
Sure.
And then from those, some really interesting things happened. These podcasts, which exploded, and there were tons and tons of them. And, you know, now there's not as many, but there are some really, really good ones that showcase comedians. You have Rogan's Sphere. I don't know if it's Nate's Sphere, but, you know, it's Dusty. And then you got, you kind of got
Kill Tony.
Yeah, Kill Tony for sure. you know, and then there's the guys like Sam Hyde and they're, you know, in the Skankfest. So, you know, if you're a fan of comedy and you're not too sensitive, there's lots of different things you could go and find to make yourself laugh. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's partitioned. I mean, there is a slice of pie for everybody. I think before it was like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it's like, I got to get on NBC, I got to CBS, I got to get on Fox, I got to get on ESPN. And now it's like, all you're looking is for your niche, right? Yep. And via your niche, can you sustain a career out of that, you know? For me personally, I've just been just a road comic all these years. And I've seen comics come, I've seen comics go, I've seen ebbs and flows, I've seen so many comics hit such highs. And then the key in stand-up comedy is no matter where you're at, be nice to everybody, because the baseline, you're always going to be fine if you can always play the clubs. And I've always played the clubs. And there's a moment where I dipped into theaters. And, you know, now it's like, you know, it took me a while to learn ownership, writing, directing, like those things. That's where the real control is. And after I had Sullivan and Son, then I did the opening act. Now I'm better ready to do this Caltech one. It's like that is where you really find security. And again, it's just always through creating. It's like, but what lane are you going to go into and truly create? So you have Kreischer and Segura that have production companies that are as big as Ryan Gosling's. Mm-hmm. And that would be unheard of 10 or 15 years ago. But these guys can greenlight a project independently as much as Ryan could greenlight something via a big studio. Actually, there's probably more sway and leverage with these independents like Nate and, you know, Tom and Bert.
Yep.
You got anybody watching Free Bert on Netflix? Bert Kreischer sitcom?
I've seen enough of Bert. I toured with them. When you know these guys personally, it's a lot different. But I'll support Bert. I love Bert. He's.
I only mention it because the punchline is the Nut House stand-up comedy club in Free Bert.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, if you see him perform at the Nut House, that's the punchline.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. Now, were you there, Jeff? Were you there for
We were there at that show that they...
I wasn't.
There were two shows they filmed. I don't know if I couldn't tell from the crowd if it was our crowd or the.
I got pissy because he wouldn't do our podcast. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, I have his phone number. I text him. I don't get anything back, and then
let's prank phone call.
He doesn't answer. The only comedian who ever answered when I pranked him was Lewis Black, and he went hello, and I said, "Hey Lewis, what's up?" And he goes, "Who's this?" I made up a name, and I said, he goes, what do you want? And I go, will you suck my cock? And he goes, sure, I'll suck your cock. Come on.
So can we talk
again,
about
a comic that doesn't get emotional, right?
Yeah, right.
Like rolling with the punches.
Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline, tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Coming up, Steve Byrne tonight. February 1st, Peter Antoniou. February 5th through the 7th, it's Brian Simpson. Valentine's Day weekend, take your date and enjoy a live comedy show headliner to be announced. The 20th through the 21st, it's Sugar Sammy, who's very funny. And February 26th, it's T. Sanders. Hey, Patreon members, keep an eye out for our weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows.
I was going to ask if we could talk about Kill Tony, because as somebody who did do stand-up, like, that seems like my worst nightmare, to bomb on Kill Tony.
Yeah, I think there's so much gravity towards it because so many people, it's a very vitriolic community. It's almost kind of like Stern or Opie and Anthony back in the day, where they're breaking down every microsecond of that show.
Yeah.
And it becomes a whole nother thing. I think for comics, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I was on the panel with Tommy Pope. Now, the thing that I think a lot of dipshits don't realize is when... Like, I'm there, for example. I was at the Mothership Friday, Saturday, and Sunday drinking every night till 4 a.m. And you're just thinking, oh my God, I got to do one more of these. I want to get out of here. I can't do this anymore. And so the only way to get through it is just like, all right, hair of the dog, you've got to have a drink. And so Tommy Pope and I started drinking. I got a little sauce and people were like, fuck these guys. They're fucking drunk. It's like, yeah, yeah. And by the way, I'm not getting paid. Like, I don't give a shit. This show means everything to you. It's a gig to me, right? It's almost like a favor. I'm not getting massive exposure for it. It's like, it's a fun hang. I love Tommy. I love Tony. I love Red Band. Cool. Like, for the people that are trying to get into it, I get it. But it's like 27 years. It's not going to make me a star. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm looking to get plowed, get on the plane tomorrow and see my family. That's all I'm trying to do, right? But one of these comics had reached out and said, thank you for being so cool. You were so, because after the show, everybody goes to the Mitzi's and we're all having a blast. And, you know, I know what it's like to be that comic. I bombed on Jimmy Kimmel Live when everything was TV, right? Millions of people watching it. And anytime you bomb, it's like getting Sharpie on your face. It's going to take a few days. It'll stay with you, but eventually it'll come off. So I told some of the comics that, and then I was trying to reassure other comics, you got a great future ahead of you, but all of them just trying to be supportive. And I heard a lot from the other comics through Instagrams and DMs, like, thanks for being super cool, whatever. It's like, yeah, because any comic knows what that's like. I think it's always the comment section. It's like the people just being so negative and awful about, you know, nitpicking everybody's, you know, 45 seconds is like trying to make somebody laugh at a minute.
As a comic, you know when you're bombing. Like, you know, you know, you don't need somebody to be like, this is why you bombed and this is why you suck.
But
Kill Tony's really funny. I love watching it.
He does a great job. He's found a great secret to success. It's awesome. I think it's an amazing opportunity to garner exposure. But it's the Gong Show. It's the Gong Show.
Yes.
Right? It's like you get a minute, gong, you're out of here. Or it's less like, coke. Yeah, you sell some tickets. But the key for those guys is who's going to be sustainable, right? Because a few years ago, you could equate it to Chelsea Handler. Chelsea Handler had an umbrella. And she had Joe Coy, she had Josh Wolf, she had, six or seven go-tos that were regulars that were really selling tickets off of being on Chelsea Lately all the time. And that was the thing back in the day. You got to get on Chelsea, you got to get on Chelsea. But now it's the same thing with Kill Tony. The key with this thing is that, you know, people have such an impatience because content is being provided everywhere. I remember, I'm not trying to name drop, but this is why I'm saying this, to make my point. And by the way, it's so good to be on the Business of Comedy podcast with you guys. I mean, I'm so sorry I've taken it down this road.
We love it.
I was talking to David Spade recently, and David Spade had just done a film, and he was having lunch with an agent or some industry professional like 2 weeks later. And they're like, David, congratulations on a Netflix movie. It's doing awesome. It's got a ton of viewership and all this stuff. So what's next? And he's like, well, next, I just did it. Like, it's been 2 weeks. I just did this film. But I think that's the mentality these days that people have of just churning and burning. So, you know, that's going to be the core issue with those people that do Kill Tony all the time. It's great. But once you're out of that cycle, or once that show kind of loses relevance, it's like, what have you done for yourself other than staying on the banner? Because a lot of them are young. And what is the marathon mentality that they have?
Yeah, are they going to be able to plant their foot and take a track of their own that people will follow?
Yeah, because these club owners have a pretty damn good memory. You sold some tickets, but if you can't sustain the show for 45 minutes to an hour, you know, you're most likely not getting asked back from the true tried, you know, club owners.
Right.
Do you think that the Korean gal is going to make it? I thought she was funny, but I thought she did okay going back and forth. I think you definitely did way better than her in that conversation. But
well, I think I think she's probably nervous as hell. You know, that's the thing you can't see. You can see it up close, but you can see the handshaking. You can see it in the eyes. Like, it takes time to get over that. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's platform diving. If you take me up to a 25-meter high dive platform diving and I'm looking down, believe me, I'm shitting my pants the first 100 times. 101st time, I'm like, oh, okay, I've done this 100 times. Now I'm good. You know, now I'm okay. That's the thing that just takes time to get over. But As far as predicting if somebody's going to do, I don't know, but I think she had a good basis. She got a great sense of humor in terms of like the hand she's been dealt and how she's getting through it.
And her military boyfriend.
Yeah. There's another kid named Aaron that I got to meet that weekend who types everything into his phone and has two Bluetooth speakers attached to his belt. And he's been on Kill Tony quite a bit. And I got to I just was so inclusive with him the whole weekend because he seemed very sweet. But then I realized how funny he was. And every show on my show, I had him do guest sets on my show. And at the end of our show at Rogan's Club, for some reason, I pretended every show was New Year's Eve. So we had a countdown clock and we had confetti cannons and we had Aaron up there singing Mr. Brightside with us to close it out with the staff. And it turned into this big party. And he obviously can't sing, but he was mouthing it. And you could see this kid is just having the time of his life. And I think that's the great thing that Kill Tony and the mothership provides is that opportunity or the environment for, you know, much like the Comedy Store, just these kind of like what society would consider like the land of misfit toys, they all end up there. But, you know, for some reason, if you're good enough, you'll get the opportunity to get that stage time in such a prestige kind of environment.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And cool for you to mentor people or at least make them a part of what you were doing. I think that's awesome.
Try and strangle them like you do with the Tony Scar kid.
He was great. He was boy, he came out of the gates kind of hot, and it was one of those things where you could feel the dynamic in the room shift and tilt towards somebody where everybody was like, oh, this is pretty special. This is cool. And as soon as he ended, I think I even stood up. I was like, wow, that was fucking awesome to just knock it out of the park like that. It was cool. And you could tell this is a kid that he'd only been doing it a few months. It's like, he's naturally gifted. That's awesome. Because again, talking about authenticity and knowing your voice, like Sebastian Maniscalco always had that. Jim Norton always had that. Bill Burr always had that. Like comics like me, I didn't have that to just be honest, but be so genuinely funny and thread that in as well. That's the hard part is to be honest and know how to write for yourself. And there's just some people that just get it. And like those three are guys that when I was coming up with, like, I was just like, wow, if I could get to that, that's my goal. And there's a reason those guys are so popular and have endured all these years.
I want to ask you this, since you're from Pittsburgh, are you a Steelers fan?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of football. Born and bred to have to like black and gold. Yeah.
And you happy Tomlin's gone?
Yeah, I think it was time. I mean, 19 years, I think he wore out his welcome. I think he'll always be revered. It is fishy. I'm not gonna lie. It's weird. He just dipped. There was no press conference. And then there's all these rumors of him with a second family in Pittsburgh and this nurse and a kid and all this stuff. And it's just like, I think sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. So it's under very, you know, peculiar circumstances. But at the same time, I think he's somebody that's always been in good standing. I think he'll be revered throughout the years. And who knows what happens in his personal life? I don't know. I personally don't care. But I just think that when you retire after close to two decades, you know, take a victory lap, get your roses. Yeah. But he didn't. And that makes me kind of question what's the real story here?
Yeah. And the fact that if you want to interview him or if you want to hire him, you got to give the Steelers draft picks and stuff for a year.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our coach got fired. I'm a Bills fan. And
Man. I was rooting for you guys this year. I thought, boy, if there's a market that deserves it.
Yeah. No Lamar. Jesus. No Patrick Mahomes. This is our year. And nope. But then everything that happened after that game, it was a complete dumpster fire. That whole organization. Because the owners are assholes.
Yeah. I mean.
Thing on the Sabres. And you're a hockey fan, so you know what I'm talking about.
Well, another one. You guys were, what was it? You guys, Dominik Hasek, Brett Hull, that goal, right? It was Dallas Stars, right? The Buffalo Sabres, you guys were in the finals.
Yeah. And they lost, didn't they?
They lost with that weird rule, which is such a bummer. But again, another team, another, you know, just so such a dedicated fan base. It's like, well, you know, it gets to the point sometimes where, like, even I'm just like praying. I'm like, will you please, like, cut these guys a break? This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering the Steelers question. I love talking.
Yeah, you got it.
You like coming to Atlanta? Anything you look forward to doing here?
I love the gig. I love the venue. Actually, I love the old Punchline, but I knew that I really like the new Punchline because it reminds me of one of those 80s throwback kind of like old school comedy clubs. I love how intimate it is. It really traps the laughter. It's a fun space. I really like it. I like the diner. The staff there is awesome. And then, of course, I always get pulled out and end up at Johnny's Hideaway and have the night of my life.
Yeah.
Six cougars that were at the show that are very hungry, as they say, and overserved. But the reason I like Johnny's Hideaway so much is like that place for sure just does it right. Like I work in Vegas every 2 weeks. I've had a residency at Kimmel's. And there's no place to go where if you just want to dance and listen to fun music and sing along with everybody, it's non-existent because it's either EDM or like some dumpy, you know, cover band stuff or whatever. There's a great place called Barbershop and Caspian's that actually have like live bands that do that, but it's so few and far between. But like Johnny's Hideaway, to hear like Sinatra's New York, New York, and then Take On Me, and then Bruno Mars, it's like that's what it should be. It should be. And you're seeing like a woman that probably just changed her diapers and a kid that snuck in with a fake ID. It's like across the board.
And they're going to hook
all
up.
All over the map. Yeah, they're going to hook up. Yeah. It's wild.
I love that that's your go-to place after a comedy.
I love it. I love watching just an absolute carnival. It's a total blast. I really like it. I like that they've endured all these years and it hasn't fallen out of favor. It's crazy, and it's right by the Waffle House, so like, it's perfect to like leave the club, go there, end up at Waffle House, right to the hotel, all within like walking distance. Like, yeah. It doesn't get any better than this.
I had a friend who was my age, and he was a bookie, and he would have like three cougars on each arm at Johnny's Hideaway.
Yeah. That is so funny. I'm telling you, I travel the country. There isn't another club like it. I've never seen anything like it. There's nothing in New York like it. Nothing in Chicago like it. Nothing in LA like it. I mean, everything in LA is closed down anyways. But I'm telling you, what you have in Atlanta is very special. It's fucking crazy. It is genuinely special. Because in Phoenix, it's all like the steakhouses, right? Yeah. They have a steakhouse and a bunch of like people in their mid-30s to 50s go. And some dunce is sitting there playing Sinatra or Tony Bennett. And it's like upscale. But everybody's doing blow in the bathroom. Right. But like Johnny's Hideaway, it's like a carnival cruise line. And everybody's amped out on the same page. Like anybody could fuck anybody here tonight. Go. And you just never go to the bar.
Why didn't I go there in the 90s? Jeff, we should have been there when we moved here. We never went.
Oh, you got to go. You got to go for the experience alone.
Well, Steve, thank you for doing the show. Best of luck.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and come to your early show on Saturday.
Oh, beauty. Well, I look forward to having a little pop with you guys and definitely just mention to the staff that you're there and I'll come out and just come back to the green room. Have a drink. Yeah.
Oh, all right, cool.
Yeah, awesome. And then we'll I'll give you my punch card to Johnny's Hideaway, and you can use it. Later on tonight.
All right, we'll go there after.
I have to go there to pick up my mail anyway, so yeah.
Give your socials and all that stuff plugs.
Yeah, plug all your socials.
Everything's at Steve Byrne Live, or all my dates are at punchup.live. So that's it. Yeah, but I can't wait to get to Atlanta and have unlimited rice pudding. They always take care of me, so it's awesome.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you guys very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks, man.
Later, guys.
Steve Byrne. That was a fun interview. He's a very funny,
cool guy.
Yeah.
So if you're listening this morning, go see him tonight. Otherwise, check out all of his stand-up specials. Check out everything. Go to his website. He just gave all of his socials, and I've forgotten them because I didn't write them down when he said
Steve Byrne Live.
Yeah, now I'm getting major FOMO about not going Saturday night.
Well, your son's birthday is more important, I think.
Fuck him! No, I'm just kidding.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, your local family-owned pizzeria and the place to get local craft beer and great food that's always made fresh to order. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Now, I've been trying to explain to my son why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, but he's not getting it. Why would they want to stay with their families? The food truck is once again on winter break, but probably in early March, it'll come out of break. Give us a call if you have a corporate or private event that you're interested in possibly booking. As always, we thank you for your continued support and for listening to the absolute best podcast around, Radio Labyrinth. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. So who else was trapped for 3 days with a toddler during the non-ice storm?
Well, not a toddler, but an eight-year-old.
Yes. I'm sure he was. You went outside, right? You didn't just keep him in the house.
Yeah. We went for a few walks, and then like he jumped on the trampoline and crunched in the ice.
It's because you bought those sleds.
I know.
That we got.
That's why
nothing.
It didn't work. That's why it didn't work out.
Well, we have another weekend coming up where we're probably not going to get anything, but
I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it. But I watched our local meteorologists in the Atlanta area. For people who don't live in the city or near Georgia, there was an ice storm last weekend. It was you know, they I wouldn't say hype. Some people were hyping it. There were some outlets that were saying this could be a catastrophic ice storm. And all those models with the dark colors that didn't used to exist, but they use now to terrify the shit out of you. See, we have a meteorologist at the radio station where I work, and she's one of those rational, reasonable, well, here's what I think is going to happen. This is hard to predict because of this and that. So just be weather aware, right? And so I got the generator out of the basement, made sure it worked, and then I brought it up, covered it up with a tarp. I put the ground in case the power went out. I went out and bought all the stuff you need. I was ready for this storm. And the power did go out, but only for an hour. So I was happy about that. And I'm also happy that we didn't get 2 inches of ice and that Athens didn't get 4 inches of ice. But there are other these meteorologists who were like, they were fighting with people on Monday on Facebook. People like, I canceled my wedding. We are supposed
we need to have a class action lawsuit against all these people in Publix and Kroger and Home Depot, all these people that sold millions of dollars worth of shit to people that were terrified.
So you're saying that the grocery stores or the box stores are in collusion with big meteorology?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. That's you know,
they want to boost the economy.
Right. I felt bad for my wife. She had to get out and drive in it. But it really just ended up being a rain event for our area.
There was ice on my car on Saturday, I turned the defrost on and it was gone in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it took a couple of, maybe an hour for us to get Jones into his truck with all the ice on Sunday night.
Well, I was going to say, though, there are meteorologists who are on TV and they have social media pages, and then they end up fighting and arguing with people on social because you just got to ignore that. You know, people are going to say horrible things, especially if you're a woman. Not only are they going to say you got it wrong, you're an idiot. If you're attractive, they're going to tell you how attractive you are. And why don't you wear that dress you wore last week? That really, I mean, that stuff is creepy. My wife's a reporter. She gets it. I had a guy on
TikTok. She didn't say anything this morning when I told her to push that tree that fell down out of the way.
Where did you say that, on Facebook?
So she went live on TikTok.
Oh, she probably didn't see it. My wife is a reporter for Fox 5, Caitlin Pratt. Oh, what else was I going to say about the term? Oh, you know what? I watched Superman with Gil, the recent one from last year, which he liked. He liked the 78 one, but he got real scared when the little, I don't know what that guy was, with multicolored guy. Metamorpho's kid, when Superman had him and he's in the river of bits or bites or whatever that stuff was.
Yeah.
Gilbert was so worried. He's going to, what's going to happen to the little boy in the lava, Daddy? And I said, don't worry. Superman will save the day. And then he kept asking questions about the dog. And of course, there's those scenes when Lois is interacting with Clark. And he understands. I had to explain what a secret identity is. And he has to pretend to be Clark while he's working at the newspaper, which, you know, by the time he's 10, there will be no newspapers anywhere. But he enjoyed it. I watched it for a second time. It still holds up second time through. I like that movie a lot, and I hope they make more.
It's a good movie. Are they going to do a Supergirl before they do another Superman?
Yeah, Supergirl's coming out this year, I think.
Yeah.
With the chick from... where
they Game of Cock.
Yeah.
House of Dragon.
Game of Cocks.
And Jason Momoa as Lobo.
Oh, yeah? That's a good casting choice.
He looks just like him.
I know.
Anyway.
But I have not yet watched the Trekkolite.
Starfleet Academy?
Yeah, Starfleet Academy. I haven't watched that yet.
That's not as bad as everybody's saying it is.
Yeah. I'm not seeing all the vitriol. It does have 48% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's probably review bombing. People are complaining about the way Holly Hunter is sitting in the captain's chair.
Yeah, they don't like her because she doesn't wear shoes and she refuses to stand up for all of her scenes.
She's lazy.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just her character choice. She likes to be like she's not a typical Starfleet person where they are like military kind of.
Yeah.
A different kind of Starfleet person.
Yeah.
There you go.
She talks like that too.
Turn to the right.
Turn to the right.
What happened?
My aunt's left me.
She said her fiance had run off with a student cosmetologist who knew how to apply her feminine wiles.
You tell him that H.I. McDonough thinks he's a damn fool.
Sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
That's my favorite Holly Hunter role.
My desert.
Of course.
You gotta have your dip tip.
You gotta have your dip tip.
You gotta get them dip tip boosters yearly or else we'll develop lockjaw and night vision.
I love that
scene. Let me sneak a peek-a-loo.
When they come over to the house, I forget that. Well, what's that guy's name, that actor?
How many Polacks take to screw up a light bulb?
I don't know, Glenn. What?
Nope, takes three.
I know him as John Kennedy from The Sopranos. But it's Francis McDormand comes over with that guy and their kids are terrors and they show that one kid and he's all dirty and he's written fart on their wall.
Yeah, Buford's a sly one. He already knows his ABCs. Watch this. Hit the deck, boy.
And then he throws a handful of marbles at him.
Yeah. You take the diaper off your sister, Ted, you put it back on your brother. Does the Pope wear a funny hat?
I guess he sure does, Glenn.
Boy, you got a panty on your head.
Now, just a minute, H.I.
Why aren't you breastfeeding?
Why aren't you breastfeeding? Appear to be capable.
Mind your own business.
All right, enough of the Raising Arizona quotes. Although that is one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. I like all their movies. They're all pretty good.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
Well, we only got one comment on our YouTube page, but I'd like to read that right now, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And this comes from executive producer Terry Fuller. She says, a few things. Ryan Hall and the Max guy, the weather people, are both what Virginians call weekenders. Why? Because they hype up a storm for engagement for days, and a few days before it hits, they say they'll know for sure when it hits and what will happen. Uh-huh, I get it. Let me make sure I read that right. Yeah, they say they'll know for sure when it hits what will happen, and they're usually not right. I could watch Home Improvement all day long, but The Office exists. These are comments we were talking about. Neighbors last week. Great sitcom, Neighbors. And she says, I so remembered Moesha. When we heard that playing, we ran to the TV. I've never seen a single episode of Seinfeld or Friends. I'm weird. You're not weird. A lot of people haven't seen those shows. Oh, you know, we had, when did we have George Clark on? George Clark is one of the producers of the Von Hessler Doctrine radio show that I'm on. He went to Skankfest, remember? And he came on and talked about his experiences.
Skankfest. I know what episode they're talking about because there's not 141 episodes of that show.
Well, it's not out yet.
Yeah, it's on their, they release them on their website and then they're about 3 weeks off on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they put up a screen grab of the show that we did with him, and they mentioned us. featuring Sam Hyde, Nick Rochefort, and Charles Carroll from internet comedy sketch group Million Dollar Extreme, who have a podcast, a show called World Peace, the first season of which aired on Meta World Peace, which was on Adult Swim. So they mentioned us because they said they really liked him. I don't know how it found, we found, I don't know, whatever, but it made it there. At least it's not like that show. What's that show where they just make fun of Corey Haim all the time?
Corey Feldman.
Or Corey Feldman, yeah. Glad they don't.
I've been doing it for like 12 years.
Yeah. We've been on there a number of times, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show, and you help us keep it going with your generous donations, and we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer, that's your title, and you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout-out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column, Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner, Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening this week. We will be back next week. Until that time, please remember to keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio.